On the line, I have Brona Walsh, and she's the manager of Teen Lion. Good morning, Brona. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. How are you?
Okay, not too bad at all. Just before we talk about what's happening at the moment, just give us a background to Teen Lion. I know it's about 8 years in existence, but tell our listeners exactly what they do.
Yeah, we're up and running since 2006, and we provide a national free phone, non-directive listening support service for teenagers. So any teenagers that are having sort of any issues or problems, no matter how big or small, they can ring and they can chat to one of our volunteers and, you know, get whatever problems they have off their chest. So as I said, we're a listening support service, so we don't give advice, we just listen. Mm-hmm. But we do, if people are in a particular problem, we will signpost to a different organisation that might, you know, be able to help them.
Okay. And the times that the
helpline is open from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock every night. And on Wednesdays, it's open from 4 till 11. We've extended opening hours on Wednesday.
Okay, nothing's going to change, because we're going to talk about the way the situation has changed as regards to funding. Tell us what's happening at the moment.
Well, we have, since I suppose we set up in 2006, we've been funded from the National Office of Suicide Prevention. And that's where we got the majority of our funding. And this year, we didn't get our funding reinstated. I suppose, you know, the National Office of Suicide Prevention has set up a national suicide prevention helpline with the Samaritans. So, you know, they're not going to fund every helpline, mm-hmm. Particularly when they have their own up and running. Look, it's not the end of the world for us. It came a little bit sooner than we were expecting. But the main thing is to reassure our callers that the helpline will remain open. There's no questions at all about that. But like, it's going to make us work an awful lot harder for mm-hmm. fundraising.
Okay, it just sounds sort of contradictory to an extent, because, I mean, your statistics show that you've had a heavy increase in calls coming into the line as the time goes on, and even up for the past 3 months, the heavy increase, and I don't know what way they decide who gets funding, but it just seems a little contrary to me.
Yeah, well, look, our calls from in 2013, our calls are up 65% on last year, so that's a big increase in the number of calls we're getting. This year so far, they're up about 33%. So that's a lot. Like, you know, it's a steady upward trend of the number of calls that we're getting. And we're getting an awful lot of new callers as well. So, you know, that would show us that people are becoming more aware that the helpline exists and they can call it. But look, you know, as I said, it's up to the National Office. We have a very good relationship with them. They've been very good to us for this. Mm-hmm. And like, they have their own budgets. They need to decide where funding is going. So ideally, look, it would be great to be able to get some funding from them. But it's not the case this year. So, you know, we're going to continue on and ourselves. And we'll be getting an awful lot more active on our fundraising and asking people to, you know, to be generous to us, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We have the Flora Mini Marathon coming up, and we're asking people to run that, or they go on and register online and nominate us as their chosen charity. We'd be very, very grateful.
And all your helplines, as I said, everyone involved, more or less, are all volunteers, aren't they?
Yes, everybody that mans the helplines, all the people that answer the helplines are volunteers. So they're all Garda vetted. They would come in and do the training in-house, and part of that would be listening in on some of the calls, and then they would go off and take calls themselves. Mm-hmm. But they're all volunteers. People will commit about 9 hours a month. Mm. So like, we wouldn't exist without our volunteers. They're just amazing. So we're very, very lucky to have them.
Yes, and I think a lot of people listening at the moment, a bit like myself, a bit stunned to the extent of out the funding, because, I mean, the national media all over, I mean, not just in Ireland, but all over the world, but especially in Ireland, with the increase of young people, especially young men, you'd imagine that, not talking about the National Office of Suicide Prevention, but about more funding being put into them so they can distribute it more to more people. It just seems
like
strange.
Yeah, like, if you look at the report, like, we have one of the highest rates of both male and female, the highest rates of suicide in under 19. So from 0 to 19, we were the highest rate in Europe, I think, for female, and then the second highest for male. Like, we have a huge, like, our teenagers, there's a massive rate of suicide there. So, you know, and there's other mental health problems as well. Like, so, yeah, of course, like, it was one of the things that the government promised was to channel more funding to mental health. And, you know, there's definitely more that can be done there. You know, it is a big problem in Ireland at the moment. And to get more resources channeled to that area would of course help. And it's also about breaking down the stigma to it and getting people to talk more about it. Like, the talking is so important.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard so many people actually talking about it, high-profile people talking about it. That's why I'm saying that our listeners and myself would be rather stunned that the government are not putting more money in there so that the National Office of Suicide Prevention, as I say, would have more to distribute. I know I'm repeating myself, but that it's just something I just don't understand as far as the funding goes. Because it is talked about a lot more than it ever was before.
I don't know how they decide where the funding gets distributed or what would, you know, get priority over different things. But one would imagine when you look at the figures that it's you know, it's pretty obvious that there's more funding needed there and more resources need to be channeled into that. Like, and it's a pity that they're not being channeled in at the moment. But I think that the more vocal and the more active that, you know, we get on it and the more we ask government to put resources into this area, you know, we will eventually be heard. So, you know, if people... write to your local politicians, you know, post on Facebook, post on websites. You know, if we ask for it, you know, there has to be a voice that will be listened to.
The inkling that you had that it might be cut, when did that come about?
Well, I guess when we saw that the NOSP were opening up a helpline in conjunction with the Samaritans, that was really, the writing was on the wall. Well, then that we weren't going to get our funding reinstated. Like, you know, I understand that they're not going to fund every single helpline and they have to pick and choose. So if they're opening their own helpline, they're not going to fund another one.
But at the same time, T9 is quite specific.
T9 was the only helpline in Ireland specifically for teenagers.
Yeah.
Only one. And we do a schools programme and... we survey, we ask the students that we do the talk with at secondary school, we ask the students to fill in a 7-question survey. And one of the questions is, you know, which helpline would you, give them a number of options of different helplines they could call. And I can't give you the exact hard figures, but invariably most of them answer they would call T9. They don't see themselves as aligned with helplines for adults because they're not adults yet, and for the helplines that are there for children, they won't call because they're very sure that they're not children anymore. So they're a little bit lost in between the two, and T9 is the one place that they will call if they do have a problem.
That's what I was thinking about, because it is quite specific in its own way.
It is.
Okay, so I suppose the funding will stop. Would it just be for the year and then be reassessments made?
Yeah, we have to look at our board. It's really up to our board, but yeah, we'll look at if we're going to get our funding back. But you know, it is good that we stand on our own 2 feet and we have our fund, and we have our own. We're so self sufficient because then we're not at anyone. You know, we're reliant on ourselves and we don't need to satisfy anybody else in terms of if there's conditions around it. But you know, we'll kind of have a look at that next year. But that'll be kind of one for the board to decide.
Well, I've been saying for many, many years when I talk to volunteer organisations and anyone else that's doing volunteering that the country would collapse without the volunteers that they have in it, and I'm sure it applies to other countries as well. But that's basically it with most things, and the government should give all people that have any organisations as much help as they can. But in particular this, as I said, because it's been sort of highlighted so much in the headlines over the past 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It'd be like our volunteers are the lifeblood of our organisation. We wouldn't exist without our volunteers. We've an amazing group of people that give their time and energy to T9. And particularly when you hear the type of calls, you know, that the volunteers are getting, it's very, very difficult, very, very sad stories, very sad circumstances. And, you know, they're listening to those sort of, you know, week in, week out. And for them to come back time and time again and... You know, we have to admire these people and, you know, you have to give them credit. But, look, it'd be great if government were kind of channeling more resources into organisations that they fill gaps, that public services aren't providing for. And there'd be an awful lot of people a hell of a lot worse off if there wasn't these volunteer organisations. You know, and people are just, at the end of the day, are very, very good. And we'd be very thankful for the great volunteers that we have.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about it anyway, and I'm sure that, as you said yourself, the good work will continue, and I'm sure that sense will prevail in the long run and the funding will be restored as soon
Thank
as possible,
so much,
I hope.
Though.
But give us all the details. People can just make donations. People can organise fundraisers. Or you have fundraisers ongoing?
Yeah, if they can organise a fundraiser, anything from like a talent show to a table quiz to a non-uniform day in school, our wristbands are available to sell if people want to take a collection bucket for their shops or to take wristbands for their shops. They're all available here. Just call the office on info@t9.ie. or log on to the website. All the contact details are there, and we'd, you know, we'd be very, very grateful for anyone that wanted to donate or to do a fundraiser for us.
Okay, thank you very much, and that's Brona Walsh, manager of Team 9. Thank you very much. Continue.
Take care. Have a good
thank
day.
You.
Bye.
Bye. And that's Brona Walsh, and she's the manager at Team 9. That's sad. I find that very sad. The funding, because it's been doing great work over the years. Now, of course, we'd like to see a time when there'd be no need for any of these at all, but the reality of life is that they're much needed, and especially teenagers. But so there you go.